live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo. He's unbelievable.
Nico is on fire.
Oh my goodness, how does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and someone who was not a part of that huge live event in Call of Duty this past week, me, James Campbell.
Do you feel left out? Do you have a FOMO, as they would say?
You know what? I did a little bit at the beginning, but I went back and I watched somebody who streamed it, and I was like, okay, I didn't miss out on much. It was essentially like a playable commercial, yeah, is what it ultimately became. Oh. Like, I thought it was like a big, weird, like Fortnite, like a community event, and you're watching the missile launch or watching the crack in the sky, but it was really just a play mode where you could unlock a couple of blueprints for some fancy guns, and then a commercial that says, welcome to Call of Duty Cold War.
Cool.
We will take your pre-order money now.
Yeah, please give us your card information.
All right, the battle between Apple and Fortnite is still going on in the courtroom, and we'll have an update on the latest in the Apple v. Fortnite court drama coming up in just a bit, because Gamescom, one of the biggest gaming trade shows of the year, held a virtual live stream over the past week, dropping some big game announcements. What big game announcements did Gamescom unveil? That's where we're going to start. Gamescom, one of the biggest video game trade shows of the year, is usually held in Germany. But due to COVID-19, they had to have it virtually, and that went down over the past week, dropping some big gaming announcements. Robbie, what did we see from the Gamescom?
Well, first of all, like you said, this is one of the big three alongside E3 and the Tokyo Game Show. So after this, I mean, you know, looking ahead for the rest of the year, any other big announcements that we get are going to have to come specifically from the developers themselves, whether that's Sony putting out their own announcement or Microsoft sort of doing their own thing. And I think a lot of people were hoping that we'd finally get stuff like, you know, the reveal of what's the price going to be for the next gen, you know, when's the actual date going to be. But unfortunately, it was still just more trailers, which, I mean, I don't want to downplay that. There was still a lot of great stuff, and that's what we're going to go through here today, with some of the highlight ones, the ones that really sort of grabbed my attention. And where I'm going to start is with the game that I wish they probably would have at least titled a little bit better, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Cold War.
Dude, did you see? Okay, so
how many titles going to give that?
Right in the trailer of it, they have Ronald Reagan.
Yeah,
which is the meme picture that I saw go everywhere out of nowhere. Do you think it's going to be any good? Because, like, they're returning to 4v4, which is a thing that the professionals in the CDL have been complaining about for years and years and years. But do you think that, like, casual players like the three of us here, is this a move that we like?
I've never personally been all that involved in the multiplayer version of Call of Duty. I know that's where a lot of people sort of got their start, where a lot of people gravitate to. But I was actually more, you know, again, for me, it's always about the narrative and the story. For me, it was always the campaign. And what's actually really cool about this is a lot of the changes that they're making to the campaign as well, the single player version of it.
Nice.
And they remind me a lot of the stuff that you'd hear from RPGs. So, for example, you get to customize your own, like, main character.
Oh,
to be
really?
Able to play in it.
Okay.
And there's also going to be certain points where you as the player get to decide what to do next. What's the decision I make? What's the path that I take that'll change the way the game plays and can also lead to multiple endings for the game as well.
Oh, very interesting. Well, I'll tell you this right now. So Black Ops, I think the first one, that's like one of the main like campaigns I've actually played in Call of Duty. I think I played that campaign more than I played
that, like, has like the big sort of psychological plot twist halfway
through.
Yeah,
like
right?
I thought it was cool because you're like a you know, an operative like in Cuba, like you're doing all this stuff behind the scenes.
It's more like blockbuster.
Yeah, like I felt like I was a star in my own little spy movie. Mm-hmm. So if it's anything like the first one, I'm excited to check out the Black Ops 2.
Might I also add that, you know, they also gave away awards. They didn't just show demos of different things.
Oh, okay. The awards were so dumb because all the people winning the awards are games that aren't even out yet.
Yeah, like, so winners of the best of Gamescom, Cyberpunk 2077, still not out.
They haven't even played it yet.
Best action adventure game, Watch Dogs Legion.
See, this right here, this is the reason why so many people question whether game awards are legitimate or not, because the games aren't even out.
Yes, and they like the best sports.
So Gamescom's awards, not legitimate.
Best sports game, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. Again,
no. How do you play it yet?
It doesn't matter.
How do you know it's good?
Here's another one that actually it was on my radar, but now it's really jumped in there.
Like the hype winners.
There's this game called 12 Minutes. And again, it's story driven. And the idea is that this couple keeps reliving these 12 minutes over and over and over
again. Like a Spike Lee joint.
Yeah, kind of. And you get to help like decide what they do and how they live through it. But the reason that it jumped back up onto my radar, there's three characters in it, and they're voiced by James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe is the narrator.
Wow, that's a big name voice talent.
Those,
there.
I mean, crazy names.
Think about like even 5, maybe 8 years ago, you're like, yo, we're going to get 3 of the largest Hollywood actors to do this small-scale video game and
this
everything.
This indie game, essentially, yeah.
And they're like, what are you talking about? That would never happen. But now in today's age, like, that's what they know, that they those names alone.
And it helps bring people in to play the game.
Yes,
check it out. Like, I'm interested now more so in this 12 minutes game, now that you said those 3 people are involved.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, okay, well, what is this 12 minutes all about?
Yep. And then finally, I think one of the other sort of big headlining names here that everyone is just, you know, going crazy over, even though nothing was really announced, is they gave like a little sort of sneak peek behind the scenes, you know, in development look at the next Dragon Age game, which I'm having a real tough time getting excited about. Dragon Age is BioWare's like big fantasy title, right?
It's like huge, like very time consuming.
Like a Skyrim,
RPG, right?
It's like a Skyrim. It's basically, you know, BioWare is most famous for the fantasy version, which is Dragon Age, and then the space version, which is Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, okay.
And it's just knowing a lot of the stuff that's been going on behind the scenes at BioWare since they've been absorbed by EA, a lot of the crunch that's been going on, the way they treat the developers. Dragon Age 4 has actually been scrapped and then restarted, I think, at least 2 times in development. And there's this whole sort of toxic culture in the development where when there's problems happening or when they can't solve things, the upper management will be like, well, don't worry, the last minute BioWare magic, I'm sure you guys will get it done. And it's just, I don't know. I know a lot of people are excited about it. I'm kind of on the fence as a result of that. But we'll wait till we see more, because this was basically just showing like art and behind the scenes stuff. Like, it's happening, guys.
So real quick, because we're going to wrap this up. A game you're excited about coming out that you saw at Gamescom.
You know, I can't believe this is the one that I'm most excited about, but Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, wow.
Yeah, Call
That's
of
a
Duty.
Shock. What about you, Weirdbeard?
They had one on there, the Jurassic Park Evolution.
Yes, that's cool.
It looks cool. Will it be cool? Probably
not. It's
not
even a new game. It's just coming to Switch now.
Oh, it's not even a new game. I remember in like junior high, I played like a Dino Park Tycoon game. I was like, oh, this is like Dino Park Tycoon. I'm going to check that out.
That's what this is, essentially.
Yeah. I'm excited about that, and I'm also excited about The Sims with the Star Wars spin.
Yes.
So we'll talk more about what games you're most excited about in the next hour when we check in with our social media followers. And Gamescom wasn't the only event making announcements this past week. Nintendo dropped some huge news as well. We'll tell you all about that in just a moment, because now it's time for this.
Time is up. Oh, my God.
Checkpoint XP's Close Shave. Watch it at checkpointxp.com.
Our Close Shave of the Week is coming from ESL Cologne that happened over the weekend. Now, the largest Counter-Strike global offensive tournament of the year. Normally, it would take place in Cologne, Germany, but this year, it was held online and split up between the different regions. In the North American tournament, Evil Geniuses eventually pulled out the win over Team Liquid, but not before being sent to overtime in a clutch round on Nuke.
They're moving up onto the rafters, but they never see him. They don't know. And so he gets that kill for free. There's the trade from Twists coming out from Deacon, giving Team Liquid a fighting chance, but they need more than a fighting chance. They need a hero, and Twist, he just might be that man. He's put it back into a doable situation. Bomb now down, and the script has been flipped. Grim nailing another. Overtime on the cards. Ethan and Stan up against it. This was looking like an EG round, dead to rights. It was 4-on-5 for Liquid. They've fought long, and they've fought hard, and they're looking to take us to OT. They lose Grim. Twist holds down the ramp, and it falls to Naf, but he nails the shot, and we're taking this first map to overtime.
Congrats to Evil Geniuses for walking away with that 65K for winning, and hopefully they're able to spend some of that on haircuts for the guys on the team. I guess they got some pandemic hair the casters kept teasing them about. Now remember, if you ever miss a Close Shave of the Week, you can find them over at checkpointxp.com.
Never miss anything again.
No way.
Stay on top of your game by heading to CheckpointXP.com to get in the game.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're just talking about some of the big gaming announcements we saw from the Gamescom live stream. Gamescom weren't the only people dropping big news. Nintendo had some pretty big, huge news to share as well. Is that right, Weirdbeard?
Sort of.
It was actually reported by Bloomberg.
Oh, Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And so none of this is official, but this has been floating around for a year now.
Yeah.
Big rumors, like, big rumors. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But here's the thing with Nintendo. Where there's smoke, there's usually fire. Only because, like, Nintendo makes progressive steps. It's not like they just decide one day and they're going to do it the next. So it's like, eventually it's building. So now we're starting to see that they may be releasing a new upgraded version of the Switch.
Oh, man, I just got my Switch,
the
too!
The Switch Pro.
Switch
yeah.
Pro! I'm like, now I'm a Switch amateur?
You are. Aww.
Unfortunately. So they already have the Switch Lite out, which is essentially like a Switch designed for your kids because it's cheaper, it has fewer abilities, you know, like it's not as great quality. But the Switch Pro is going to go farther to the Pro because it has like supposedly 4K resolution in it. I don't know why you'd need to ever.
Well, you would only be utilizing that on the TV anyway.
You want to see all the blemishes your characters have in Animal Crossing.
Upgraded, you know, computing power and graphics into it, you know, for example, stuff like that. There'd probably be, you know, more rumbling technology in it and stuff like that. Bigger storage and memory.
But it's all, again, like, we've gone over this when discussing PS5 and Xbox, the next Xbox and everything. The spec stuff is nerd stuff. Nobody really truly
all you have
cares.
To look, all they have to do is drop that it's a Switch Pro and people will be excited
yes.
about it. But they're not the only ones. Xbox and Microsoft seem to be in a little bit of trouble as well. Apparently, although how do you do behind the next Halo being delayed? There's actually a little bit more to it. It's not just about, you know, fixing
some
up some rough edges. Yeah, apparently Microsoft has appointed a Halo veteran to get Infinite back on track.
That sounds bad.
Yeah, Joseph Staten, one of the main writers on the earlier Halo games at Bungie, and is currently at work with a different project at Microsoft. They brought him in alongside one more senior leader to provide more expertise on the project. So it seems like there's either there's stuff that maybe isn't testing so well with focus groups that now they want to try and redo, or the project's a lot further behind than what was originally anticipated. And the fact that this was originally supposed to launch in 2 months, they have to bring somebody back in to get it back on track? That is not sounding good for Microsoft.
I guess we'll have to sit tight and find out once Halo actually gets released. Now, a brand new video game documentary has been blowing up on Netflix watch lists, and most of the Checkpoint XP crew had seen some of it, if not all of it. We're going to let you know if this new series is worth checking out in just a bit, because ahead next, Apple v. Fortnite is a battle that has been being waged in the courts. What new details have emerged? And will we ever get to play Fortnite on an Apple device ever again? We'll let you know next on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
With continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness!
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. You're listening to me, James Campbell, as well as Weirdbeard, and the man who got his revenge during last week's Checkpoint XP game. Mr. Robbie Landis.
Look, it's not even about revenge, all right? Weirdbeard came up in the show a few weeks ago with an impossible game that
Absolutely.
Was designed to make
he
me lose.
He was like our game genie so we could dethrone the champ.
It's not proper. It's not right, all right? That was not a real win. So I just gave you guys a taste of your own medicine, just trying to, you know, level the playing fields. I wasn't about it for revenge. I'm just happy that we can now get back to nice, fair games where everyone has an even shot.
I just want to buy Robbie a cape. Like, he's an evil mastermind now.
He is,
now.
Yes.
Just like, throw the cape.
We gotta teach him to laugh. Like, whoa.
You don't think I got a Joker laugh? I got one.
As we record this episode of Checkpoint XP, it is the first week of September, and the next-gen consoles are looking to be released in the next couple months, yet there is still no information on exactly when the PS5 or the Xbox Series X are hitting stores, or for how much. And I even got an email from Sony soliciting a reservation for a PS5 that gave literally no info.
But people were able to basically reserve a reservation for pre-orders.
Yes.
Which, to me, is mind-boggling that they're like, all right, we can't tell you how much it is or when you're going to get it, but we still want you to put down some money.
Yeah,
on top of the fact that they said, look, supply is limited, but also COVID-19 is not going to impact the supply that we're putting out. I feel like
there's a couple mixed messages.
There's all sorts of mixed messages here. But what I wanted to talk about is at this point, I feel like we have all the info we're going to have, right? Like, if you're waiting on more info to decide whether or not you're going to buy a next-gen console, you're missing out on it.
This is literally like political elections. Right. At this point, people know what they're going
to do. So, I wanted to go around the room here. I want to know, where are you leaning, right? Which one are you going to buy? Or if you're not, why aren't you? And how long are you going to wait? Start with Weird Beard, all right? And look, Nintendo technically is even kind of on this ballot as like a third party now that a Switch Pro might be coming out.
Which console will Nintendo be pulling the votes away from?
So Weird Beard, where are you sitting? Series X, PlayStation, or are you waiting?
I mean, we're obvious. PlayStation's the choice to make here. I think it's just like, take all emotion out of it. Just going lineups alone, you win. Specs alone, PS5 wins. The overall user experience, PS5 wins. Am I buying it launch day? Hell no. Am I buying it probably this year? Hell no.
Oh, but so how long are you waiting?
Spring, maybe.
He's waiting until they knock the price down.
Knockdown or like a title that you can only get on the PlayStation?
Price is scary to me. If they still have not come, like if that was a thing that they knew that they could win on, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, and it wasn't outrageous,
yeah.
I feel like they would have said it by now.
That's a valid point, like, for sure.
But honestly, if they launch it and they go, yo, $4.99?
I think that they know whatever price they put it at, people are going to buy it. The only reason I think they're waiting for price is I think they really want to stick it to Microsoft and truly kill the Microsoft console by undercutting them. James, where are you going, Xbox or PlayStation?
So I'm typically an Xbox boy, man. I've been an Xbox player for years, like Halo 3 on the Xbox mm-hmm. 360 is what got me back into gaming.
I can already hear it in your voice.
Yeah, but you guys have pretty much sold me on the PS5. It makes more sense if Xbox and Microsoft.
Well, and you have an Xbox One.
I have an Xbox One.
So
yeah.
Anything that you want to play, you can play on the Xbox One or your PC.
Exactly. So literally, there's no need for me to shell out any money for the Xbox. But the PlayStation, it has my interest. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely more in the PlayStation camp. Am I getting it pre-day or the first day? No. Now, if we talked about something like, should we pre-order it for the show so we can get our hands on it first? That's something we can discuss off mic, you know, and see about doing that. Uh-huh. But otherwise, no, there's nothing for me on the very first day.
Is there anything that could win you back to the Microsoft camp right now? Anything. You get to name
some sort of a crazy exclusive Star Wars, you know, VR experience.
On the console itself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, you, Robbie?
You guys are lucky that I'm here so that we don't look like a bunch of amateurs. I will be buying a PlayStation 5 day of. I already dropped 2K on a brand new PC, so why not put myself further in debt?
Look at the big wallets over here, a money bag.
How much is Robbie getting paid compared to
I think we need to get talk to our agents here.
That is something we will not be talking about on air or off air. Mm. But here's the thing.
Show us the contract, Robbie.
I actually can't admit, too, that I don't know right now that there is a need to buy day one if you have a PC. Like, if you're going to get into Cyberpunk 2077, which comes out in November, and the PS5 is likely dropping in November, you should be playing that on a PlayStation 5. I'll be getting it on PC myself. But it's weird. I can already see that I know that when I get that, there's probably not a whole lot I'm going to be playing on it unless those games get free upgrades, like Avengers. I'm not sure if Avengers is going to get a free upgrade to the PS5 or not.
I believe it is, yes.
Cool. Then I'll be playing that on there. But I actually don't think launch title-wise there's anything that says you have to get a PlayStation 5 day of.
I don't think launch titles mean anything anymore. Like,
well, because there aren't any.
Yeah.
Everyone now, it's all about like when a new gen launches, those games are on both the previous gen and the next gen.
All right, we've been talking about the court cases between Apple and Fortnite creators Epic Games for the past few weeks. We'll get you updated on the court ruling in Apple v. Fortnite in just a moment, because now it's time for this.
From the high highs,
an absolute monster,
to the low lows,
there you go, four more.
Who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio?
We'll get things started with our Nailed It this week. TSM is a team known for being loud and brash, and especially so since they entered into the world of Valorant. It's been known for a while now that TSM and Sentinels were the teams to beat in the Valorant scene, with each of the teams accounting for 65% of the grand finals in tournaments of North American play so far. That's a lot of rematches. So, before the Pop Flash Invitational this weekend, TSM put out this teaser video asking for a rematch with Sentinels.
Two teams that absolutely hate each other and the fans love it. I'm talking about TSM and Sentinels.
TSM. You see, both teams have laid their claims to be crowned at the top of NA. Both have Ignition Series championships, both have defeated every other challenger that lays in their way, and both are all the talk in Twitch chats and esports talk shows everywhere.
However, they ended up losing in the first round to Dignitas, a newly formed team, and didn't even advance in the loser's bracket at all. This nailed it goes out to Dignitas for shutting down the trash-talking TSM team before they even had a chance to take on the eventual champions, Sentinels. Way to go, Dignitas.
Checkpoint XP, your home for competition. Online at checkpointxp.com.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We've been following the court case between Apple and Fortnite creators Epic Games for a few weeks now and finally have some info on the ruling. Robbie, will I ever be able to play Fortnite on my iPhone again?
Oh, I wouldn't hold your breath. So, to give you just a little background, just kind of catch everyone up on it, what happened was is that Epic decided they were going to take on Apple, who basically has, it's all but being said, a monopoly when it comes to the App Store, right?
Yeah.
Anything that's in the App Store, Apple gets a 30% cut. So Epic had actually put into their game, when you're on the Apple, like actual, in the app, it says, hey, go ahead and buy your V-Bucks here, or you can go somewhere else and buy them cheaper, essentially cutting Apple out.
A little workaround of the 30%.
That's right. So Apple basically took Fortnite out of the App Store. Fortnite's basically like, we're taking you to court now. And Apple's like, yeah, well, you know what? If you're going to do that, we're taking the Unreal Engine away from you. Now, the reason that that's a big deal is that Epic actually leases out the Unreal Engine, which is a suite of development tools that the vast majority of the video game industry uses.
Like, everybody uses the Unreal Engine.
Everybody, yes, to create games. So if they were to take some of the tools out of that, it's basically null and void. This is where Microsoft basically jumped in and put their bid in with Epic, saying that if Apple does that, it is going to, like, irrevocably damage the video game industry. So we do have two current rulings until it actually gets to court right now. So the first court ruled in favor of Epic and the Unreal Engine in one instance with a temporary restraining order that's stopping Apple from affecting the Unreal Engine. In her decision, Judge Gonzalez-Rogers noted that there was a potential significant damage to both the Unreal Engine platform itself and to the gaming industry, generally including on both third-party developers and gamers. So they're basically saying Apple is going to be hard-pressed to dispute that even if Epic Games succeeds on its merits, it would be too late to save all of these third-party developers and projects that would be shelved or damaged by Apple doing this. So they're basically saying, Apple, you can't do that. Unreal Engine stays as it is.
But let me just, okay, so to translate some of the techno babble in that is like, they don't mean forever. They just mean until you can prove it in court. And because court cases like crawl along and everything like
It could take some time.
Yeah, they just don't want to say, hey, Apple can't pull it preemptively. Like, they have to actually go to court and battle it out. And then if they want to take away Epic Games, they can, or the Unreal Engine, they can do
so
that.
So for now, Unreal Engine is fine in the Apple Store.
Yes.
But if somebody can prove the case, then they might be able to still yank that away.
Correct. Yes. Now let me take the temperature of the room. Where do we sit? Is this moving more towards Apple, more towards Epic? Has anybody's opinions changed on this?
Oh, for me, I think they're a bunch of big billionaires.
It's just billionaires fighting billionaires about who gets the money. Look, does Apple have a little bit too much of a monopoly? Absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. And if Epic can swing that and make it so that, you know, the restraints on the app stores are loosened so that smaller developers can get a bigger cut of their pie, I'm all for that. But until that happens, I think there's just losers on both sides. But the court also ruled in favor of Apple in regards to putting the Fortnite app back on the store until they could go to court and finish this all out. And essentially what the judge said was that when it comes to the actual Fortnite app, that's only affecting Epic, right? And she pointed out that, you know, some people the court anticipates that experts will, you know, point out that Apple's 30% is anti-competitive. They also say that we doubt that an expert would suggest that the 0% alternative is any better, which is what would happen if you go out of the app to buy the V-Bucks. So essentially, since only Fortnite is being affected by Fortnite's actions and nobody else is, then Apple can continue to deny them access.
So my Fortnite still won't update on my iOS.
Still ain't happening.
Until this gets remedied.
So you are probably not going to be able to play on your Apple device for quite a while.
Yeah, and I mean, like, especially because the more money that seems to start getting
October or November, I think, is when it's supposed to actually hit courts. So 2 months bare minimum unless something gets worked out.
All right. Can't wait to see what happens. I'm sure we'll have more updates on the court cases as they come to us. Now, a very popular award-winning game series is getting the augmented reality treatment. We'll let you know which game you'll need your phone to have an interactive experience with in just a bit. Because ahead next, a brand new gaming-related docuseries is taking off on Netflix. Now, we'll let you know if this new series is worth checking out when Checkpoint XP returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. With continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is going to be absolute madness around.
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. I'm James Campbell. Along with me is Robbie Landis and the man working to get the title of YouTube King of Gaming / Esports Drama. It's Weird Beard. What's the juicy story you got going on over at the Breakdown, Weirdbeard?
I'm talking about the rapper takeover of esports right now. Last week we had Logic, Pusha T, Upscale Vandal, and a few other people arguing with Drake because they were like, oh my gosh, you're investing in FaZe Clan? Cool, we're going to buy our own team. So they bought Chaos Esports Club.
It's like the esports version of the East Coast, West Coast hip-hop wars.
I'm excited for it, especially because like Drake gets dragged all the time, and now you have Pusha T, who they like had real rap beef.
They have beef too? Wow.
Like in real life, yeah, because Pusha T is the one that called out Drake for having a son that he didn't take care of or whatever like that.
Oh, Drake, you gotta get your stuff together, man.
No, one day.
All right, can't wait to hear more. How can they find the Breakdown, Weirdbeard?
Go to our YouTube and look for My Ugly Face.
There we go. Gaming-related properties have been a big source for content on streaming services lately. It seems like each week we have a new announcement for a game or a series that's being adapted to a streaming service, like The Last of Us is coming to HBO Max, Fallout for Amazon, and now is no different. Netflix just dropped a new docuseries all about video games. It's called High Score. Has been blowing up, and we've all seen at least a portion of it. I think Weirdbeard, you've seen all of it. Do you want to kind of give us a rundown of the series?
I mean, it essentially charts the growth of video games all the way from Pong to the way it is today. One of my favorite standout moments is when they showed the Sega commercial that was like Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah, like it
I
goes.
I don't remember that commercial.
It goes over the beefs. It goes over like E.T. being the commercial disaster that it was.
It kind of just hits on a bunch of like the big points of it. You know, there's one episode talking about the birth of the FGC.
Yep.
There's one episode the fighting game community.
Okay.
Yep. There's another episode that focuses on role playing games and how. You know, it started with Dungeons and Dragons, and now you have these games like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a watch, right?
Absolutely.
And you mentioned it blowing up all across social media, which is interesting because it did, but it wasn't all positive. I feel like a lot of the gaming industry.
There's some negativity about it.
I mean, sort of. It would be in the realm of negativity, but I don't think it's in the realm of like this shouldn't be a thing or it shouldn't be made.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, those of us in the gaming industry, and I felt a little bit of this too, because a lot of what I was seeing or watching, I already knew because it was very sort of surface level stuff. And then it would jump from topic to topic pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And while some of it, you know, I would have been interested to learn more about. You know, specifically, there's so many topics in here that they probably could have made an entire episode dedicated to some of the things that they spend maybe, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the gaming industry kind of sees this and it's like, yeah, we've saw this before. It feels like it's maybe pandery in a way, but I think that more so than that, I don't think that it's pandery. I think that instead what this is for is it's made more for people who, you know, maybe their kids are into gaming.
Correct.
Now. Or maybe,
a bit of a history.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're aware that it's out there, but they've never tried to get into it because they have no interest themselves in it. But being able to watch something like this, it's just something that shows you sort of the birth and some of the stories, you know, within the creation of the early days of gaming. It's interesting.
It's made for non-nerds. Like,
well,
it's made for people that just didn't grow up immersed in that entire culture of, like, when video games still weren't cool. Like, a lot of people don't understand that that was a big beef between Sony.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people that they interview are creators and early adopters of this technology. They're now in their, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, right?
Yeah.
So it's not people who are currently in the industry, but
people
the
who
industry
live through it and they're telling
the
their
industry
story,
have them to thank for their being in industry at all.
Like, they're just the way that we always say that there are no good movies about video games. There's not a ton of like info about the video game industry that's like documentaries or movies or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is like a 9 out of 10. Not perfect. It's not the most amazing piece of content that's ever been made. Is it bad? I wouldn't say that in any stretch of the mind.
Well, see, the thing that I found most interesting, I was always like, why is there a Pac-Man and a Miss Pac-Man? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very interesting, the story they went into with the company of the people who would modify things for the arcade cabinets.
And had to make Miss Pac-Man to get around the legal stuff.
Yes, like, so it's like those like insider like little stories is what I find the most fascinating about it. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. Now, we want to talk to you on the phone. If you want to talk to us, give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. You can chime in on our social media outreach question that we have going on. I think like this week is what game do you find to be the most fun coming from the Gamescom announcement?
We also ask people what the last song you listened to, because that's now your boss battle theme.
Oh, man. Poor Lizzo. But you can give us a call. You can even call and ask us any questions you feel like the experts here can respond to. Again, it's 1-833-557-0974. We're just talking about the new video game docuseries on Netflix called High Score and whether or not it's worth watching. Well, another video game adaptation was also announced to be coming to Netflix. Robbie, what game's getting the adaptation treatment now?
This is definitely a AAA title, and that is the Resident Evil series. Now, ooh. I at first thought that it was an anime because video game animes like Castlevania have been doing very well on Netflix, but this is actually going to be an 8-episode series, live action.
Oh, live action.
It's going to be live action. Now, anyone who's watched the Resident Evil movie, the first one was okay. Everything that came after it, it got crazy, worse and worse and worse. Now, it's actually going to focus on Wesker's kids. Wesker is one of the main protagonists. He is in one of the first games, but he's one of the main antagonists, one of the bad guys that appears all throughout the franchise. He's kind of like one of those, you know, manipulating things from behind the scenes, you know, uses various eugenics programs to experiment on people. So this series is going to take place, and it's going to center on two kids that were a part of those experiments. And look, live action adaptations can be weird, especially when you're kind of going off of some original content. I think there are strengths to it. There's also weaknesses to it. But what has me worried is apparently this is going to be split across two different timelines.
Yikes.
What Netflix has said about it is that when the Wesker kids move to New Raccoon City, the secrets they uncover just might be the end of everything. In the first timeline, it's revealed that 14-year-old sisters Jade and Billy Wesker are moved to New Raccoon City, but the more time they spend there, the more they come to realize the town is more than it seems, and their father may be concealing dark secrets, secrets that could destroy the world. Cut to the second timeline, it's well over a decade into the future. There are less than 15 million people left on Earth and more than 6 billion monsters.
Ooh, wow. I just want to step in here. Is anybody here like a Resident Evil fan? I'm a fan of the games. I've played all of them.
I've dabbled a little bit. I've actually probably watched more of the movies than I have the game. So into this, I think that I'm actually going to benefit from the fact that this is more new, original content, because there's nothing I'm tied to that if I don't see it, I'm like, this isn't a Resident Evil movie.
I think, you know what, though? Like, the first Resident Evil movie, I learned this from watching a review of the first movie, actually, over the weekend. Do you know that they had George A. Romero tied in on the first one?
I think I actually did know that, yeah.
Guess what? That's why it's passable. All the other ones, terrible. I feel like, you know, in this, zombies are no longer scary. Walking Dead has shown us that. I think this is going to be a flaming garbage fire.
You need people that understand the material, and while it doesn't have to be a one-to-one translation, fans have to feel like the world is being respected.
Yes.
Now, I don't know who is attached to this, who's going to make it, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Probably dumpster fires.
We'll see, but I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot. 8 episodes, watching the first one, that ain't bad. And Netflix, more so than anybody else, I think, has had a decent track record of producing video game to streaming
because
content.
Because they had The Witcher, right?
They had The Witcher. Castlevania's been doing very well.
Castlevania was good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, looking for a super cheap yet fun gaming recommendation? Maybe something to help fill your time while you're escaping the heat from the summer? Well, make sure you stick around for the free game of the week. That's coming up in just a bit. Because next, a hugely popular award-winning game, even a former Game of the Year winner, is getting turned into an augmented reality game on your mobile device. Which game? And what the heck is augmented reality? We'll let you know next on Checkpoint XP.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. Overwatch League is drawing towards its exciting finale this year. In a year marred by COVID-19, the best teams in the world will be making their way to South Korea for the finals. Teams that qualify will need to quarantine for 2 weeks before being allowed to compete at the beginning of October. The LCS Summer Split is drawn to a close, and with teams now qualified, we're officially on the road to Worlds. This year's event will be taking place in a bubble in Shanghai, as teams from all over the world will remain in quarantine throughout the month of October. September 4th marks the return of Counter-Strike Global Offensive, with ESL Season 12 kicking off. All matches this season will be played online due to ongoing concerns with COVID-19. Valorant's next tournament will be running September 5th and 6th, welcoming teams out of the Oceania region. Qualifiers for the RLCS X Fall Major will be going on throughout the month of September. No word yet on when the Fall Major itself will take place. And that's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website at checkpointxp.com.
Get in the game. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're hanging the weird beard, Robbie Landis, and somebody who may be back on the Sims wagon now that they're getting into the Star Wars universe, me, James Campbell.
Are you, like, are you gonna really, really actually get into The Sims?
I might. I'm thinking about how I can pick up all these, like, intergalactic babes and invite them back to my house and all right, hop
you see,
in the hot tub.
I was actually about to say, do you think this might be a game that you and your fiance get to play together now?
No, it's me picking up space babes. I'll be the modern day Shatner.
So The Sims, though, is usually like, you know, they catch your house on fire because they don't know how to cook or they get trapped in the pool and drown and everything. Is there gonna be an incentive or a weird thing that, you know, you can see Star Wars characters happening only in the Sims universe?
Yeah, who shot first?
Oh,
yeah.
Can we create that scene?
Yeah, he just, a Star Wars nerd alert went off.
Yeah, let's see what Greedo's up to in the Sims universe. We spoke earlier about Gamescom and some of the big gaming announcements that were dropped during their live stream last week. Well, one of those big announcements was that a former Game of the Year winner was getting the augmented reality treatment. Robbie, which former Game of the Year are we going to be able to play on our mobile devices? And can you explain what the heck augmented reality is?
Yeah, so let's start with the latter there. What is augmented reality? So Pokemon Go is the best, biggest example of it. And it's basically when you have a game on your phone, you have to look at your phone to see the real world, and then it puts something on there. So with Pokemon, you know, you kind of look around with your phone using the camera, and you'll see the Pokemon, then you have to throw the ball at it to catch it. So that's what augmented reality is. It's allowing
you're seeing what's actually in front of you.
It's allowing you to play a game within the space that you inhabit.
Okay, so like the other games, I think like a Ghostbusters game came out that was similar to that.
I think so. There's also Harry Potter, Wizards Unite one. But the newest one that again was announced during Gamescom is an AR game, an augmented reality game for The Witcher, which everyone should be familiar with after the successful Netflix series. But this was, I don't know, I guess it kind of makes a little bit of sense, but it's a little weird to me. It's essentially the exact same thing as what Pokemon Go is. You walk around looking for, instead of pocket monsters, looking for Witcher monsters that you then have to slay.
Okay, so you're gonna find these monsters, and I'm assuming you're probably gonna engage them in some sort of a battle.
Yep.
Through your phone.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, like,
it seems real basic.
Literally, that noise you just made is my entire response.
You want to be excited about it, but you seem
cool.
Feels more like it's just trying to capitalize off the Witcher name and maybe the success of Pokemon Go than anything else.
Listen, we may be spoiled in 2020.
We're definitely spoiled
because it's like. Yeah, it might be an okay game. Would it be something that I play 3 times? Maybe not.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, you're waiting for, you know, your takeout someplace, right? Because COVID's going on. So you're like, oh, let me just download and play something really quick. And then you never touch it again.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's okay. Like, I don't... Like earlier, we were speaking about something that I thought was going to be a total dumpster fire. This, I don't think, is going to be a total dumpster fire. But is it like a winning...
It's more of a barrel fire?
Yeah, like it's contained. And you know what? Okay. I can walk away from it. I don't think it's going to destroy other stuff.
Let me ask you this, Weird Beard. What game would you prefer to get an augmented reality take?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You know what? Resident Evil would be cool as an augmented reality to have zombies in real life. Like
that, I could see that.
But who cares? Like, again, I think The Witcher's going to be fine. But fine in 2020 is not exactly
you want to know what the problem with augmented reality games is? Is that Pokemon Go already did it the best you possibly can.
Absolutely.
Like, no augmented reality game is ever going to hit as hard as what Pokemon Go did.
No matter what kind of demon or monster they put in this Witcher game.
It doesn't matter. Pokemon Go, for like 2 weeks, brought world peace to Earth, all right? No one is hitting that high of heights again.
It brought nerds out of the basements,
it
too.
It did. It got us running around. It got
did
us
you guys
walking.
Play the Pokemon
oh,
Go?
Yeah, I played Pokemon Go for several years before I finally put it down.
Wow.
I spent more money than I care to admit on Pokemon Go before I put it down.
I think the discussion really becomes like, are AR games like games that there's a huge market for? Like, are people waiting up at night, you know, to play an augmented reality game when you, like, can talk about dropping any game on the PS5, there's going to be automatically more hype.
There's the other problem, too, is that, you know, even with phones getting better and more complex, having more computing power, there's only so much you can do with an augmented reality game. It's looking at your camera and they're putting something on it, right? Every AR game is essentially going to be the exact same thing.
And I feel like, too, you can't just, like, have a good time at your own house. You have to always go out
and
venture.
You always have to go out somewhere. Which, I mean, is kind of part
of the fun. I mean,
that's
okay to get out and get involved. But if
right.
somebody like me, who's more of an introvert, I want to enjoy these experiences just in my own
home. On my couch.
You know, on the couch where I'm comfortable. I can go to the fridge to get a beverage or grab a snack. Like, it's all there. I'm not driving around all over the place trying to find the crazy Witcher monster I need to battle.
Gaming on a budget? We've got a game for free.
$3.99!
Checkpoint XP's free game of the week.
Checkpoint XP has you covered with the free game of the week. Now, if you ever wanted to drop into an abandoned island wearing nothing but your underwear and have to scavenge for weapons and armor while taking on 99 other opponents, then here is your chance.
All right, boys, we got one objective. To loot. Kill. Survive. And most importantly, be the last team standing, even if that means there's just one of us left.
Wait, which objective exactly?
What?
You said we all have one objective, but you named like four, so.
Who is this guy again?
He's a friend. He just hasn't played that much PUBG.
Yeah, this is my first time.
Oh my gosh.
Great, you brought a noob.
There goes our chances.
Players Unknown Battlegrounds, PUBG for short.
Woo!
Is a third or first person battle royale game. You can actually play it
in
both perspectives. Now, despite Fortnite being the king battle royale, PUBG was actually the one that started the wildfire.
This is like the OG, right?
There were a few technically that came before it, but PUBG was the one that was so successful, but they were still charging for it, that's when Epic basically stepped in and was like, you know what, we're going to make our own free version of this. That's happened to Fortnite.
Gotcha.
But PUBG is more of like a realistic version of it, right?
Yeah.
You don't have the cartoony stuff.
Blood and guts and guns.
You don't
have
Iron Man and stuff flying around. You just drop in. You got to scavenge for everything that you need and try to be the best.
The entire best thing to come out of PUBG is the fact that if you had a frying pan, it could deflect bullets. And that's great.
Yeah, that was a nice little interesting tidbit.
Yeah. PUBG especially, though, is maybe not so much in North America, but still in like...
still very big.
Asian regions.
Yeah.
PUBG and PUBG Mobile is the most played game of all.
Really?
Like,
of all?
It beats out League of Legends. It beats out like everything. And it's all because of like India, Singapore,
it doesn't beat out
Bangladesh.
Dota 2 though, does it?
Well, I'm saying like just from... how many worldwide are still more? In specific regions,
right.
It gets dethroned. Mm-hmm. It's not like League of Legends owns every single place that it goes.
Yeah. What's nice about PUBG, though, is the fact that you just drop in and play,
yep.
right? You don't have to worry about coming in late to the game. And actually, I think they just recently got their first ranked mode as well. So now you also don't have to worry about, like we do with Apex when we do trios, dropping in and having someone who's already level 500 just running amok all over the dang place, right?
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, you don't have to worry about, oh, I'm too far behind. I don't have, like, the talents or the levels built up. None of that stuff matters. And if you're going into ranked mode, you're going to be put up against people who are also similarly just learning the game.
This game is especially for people that, like, have seen their kids play Fortnite, and they go, oh,
I'd love to play that, but it's too kiddie for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, like Fortnite for adults, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, I love the idea that there's a ranked mode because I would always just drop in and get smoked.
Oh, yeah. You were a loot pinata.
Yeah, yeah I'm
you
crawling were there, around in my underwear in some corner with a gun.
You were there to pick up the good loot and then walk around with it until somebody better than you could kill you and take it.
Yeah, now, it happened almost
I
every
will,
time.
Let me ask a preference. Do you like to play PUBG by yourself or with a team?
I prefer by myself because with the team, I'm always paired up with randos and everybody kind of always goes and does their own thing.
If I know the people I'm playing with, I prefer that. But if I can't get anybody, I would play solos.
Okay, because I think that like a game like this is best served for a group of people. You can play solo and whatnot, but if you have a team of three other people that you are friends with and you like playing with, this is one of those games that if you're tired of playing Modern Warfare, you can squad up and go play PUBG, especially with it being free.
And you can play it on Steam and consoles, but it is currently free on PlayStation Plus.
There's your free game of the week, Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, aka PUBG. It is for free for PS Plus subscribers, so if you are a PS Plus member, go download it today for free in the PlayStation Store. Now, if you're looking for another good game recommendation, something that's easy to get into and well worth the time, we do have our Patient Gamer segment coming up in the next hour. But next, we've had a couple of wild weeks of competition here on the Checkpoint XP show. Things will hopefully kind of return to normal because my quest to take on the Checkpoint XP champion, Robbie Landis, in games of trivia and knowledge continues. Hopefully, with a game that has answers we'll all be able to guess. Find out if Robbie can be dethroned this week after his revenge when we come back on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo! He's unbelievable!
Nico is on fire!
Oh my goodness, how does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You've got me, James Campbell, and joining me are Weird Beard and the man who may be spending his entire life savings on a new PC, Robbie Landis.
Wasn't even half of my life savings. Ooh, thank you very much.
All right.
It was just under half. But yeah, $2,000 on a new PC. I'm excited.
How many RGB lights did you get? Super, super like cool lights to go in it?
I think that it has a few in them, but I don't know that I'll be turning them on.
James, do gaming PCs that have RGB lights in them, like the color changing lights, does that make it a better gaming PC?
It probably doesn't make it a better gaming PC, but it makes it way cool, and I want to spend all my money on it.
It's like having the flames on the side of your hot rod.
Yes, exactly.
I will say, though, that I do have liquid cooling with this thing.
Ooh, yeah. That sounds like it's a computer from the future.
It's a computer from now, James, but it will take me into the future. 6 to 7 years before I have to worry about upgrading.
Well, I can't wait till I get invited to come over and watch porn on it.
Oh, boy.
The last couple weeks, things have been getting fairly wild in terms of playing the game against each other. Weird Beard came in with a virtually impossible to win contest a couple weeks ago. Then Robbie struck back last week with an equally challenging contest for revenge. So hopefully, now things are back to normal with the playing fields all leveled. We do have Checkpoint XP producer Callie sitting in to help us play this game. Weird Beard, can you explain the rules to this one?
So this game is easy. Not super easy, but easy enough. I have gone through the subreddit Livestream Fails, which is essentially like a celebrity gossip rag magazine, but based off of Twitch streamers. And I've gone over some of the most frequented posts over this previous year. I'm going to describe what a certain streamer did on stream, and I'll play you a clip afterwards. You have to tell me who the streamer is, all right?
Okay,
now,
easy enough.
These are all streamers that you've definitely have heard of before, so none of these are like unknown ones, okay?
Okay.
Let's start off with the very first one.
I just want to clarify.
Yes.
This is an easier game because we're all stupid.
No, it's just because it's accessible.
It's because the last 2 weeks has been like impossible exactly to answer
Weird
questions.
Weird Beard started it.
100%. I agree. Game Genie does a win against you, Robbie.
And it wasn't a real win.
First one. This streamer, under high pressure recently about their partner, showed an adult video on stream titled "Reading Causes Rough Sex." They were then banned from Twitch for 3 days.
Who is Pokimane?
Pokimane is correct.
Wow.
See, that's who I was thinking, but when you mentioned they showed an adult video, I'm like, wait, what?
That's her reacting to reading causes rough sex that she played on stream.
Did she do it on purpose?
No, a Twitch or one of her chatters sent it to her and said, oh, you should check this out.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say Pokimane too, but then when you mentioned she played an adult thing, I'm like, I don't think Pokimane did that.
Baited.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it jabated?
Jabated.
Yeah, I got jabated once. I didn't understand what it was. I'm like, what happened?
You're so old.
Next. By the way, I don't know why I answered that like a Jeopardy question.
What is Pokimane? Do we need to buzz in? What do we need to do? Just shout it out?
First person to say it.
Okay. This is for fun because everybody's here to have fun.
Yeah, it's not about the competition, guys.
I just want to be clear on all the rules.
Great,
here.
This is the millennial version of it. Got it.
Next one. This streamer, who has taken up streaming on Twitch after a very visible previous career, was able to tell you exactly what 12 inches of dough was during a cooking stream for other reasons.
Shroud?
Incorrect.
I know who it is now. Can I answer multiple times?
Sure, it's for fun.
Ninja!
No, what? Still wrong.
Wow, you're wrong twice.
Someone who is famous doing something else before Twitch.
Yes.
Somebody, is it a rapper? No. 12 inches of dough? No, okay.
It's not. Gordon Ramsay wasn't on Twitch, was he?
No, here, I'll give it to you. Sasha Gray. Here you go, while she was doing her cooking segment on her channel, Sasha Gray.
Oh, I get 12 inches. I understand now.
She's a porn star.
No, I'm already waiting for those jokes.
Next up, this streamer learned on stream why the game Monopoly is called Monopoly after learning about VWs and Lamborghinis.
Markiplier?
Closer, but no, not Markiplier. This clip alone has 370,000 views on Twitch.
You said close. Is it like Jacksepticeye?
No.
PewDiePie?
No, we're going too far. He's he's had recent success in Fall Guys.
Tim the Tap Man.
James gets it.
Oh,
wow. Woo. On the board before I am, James.
Yeah.
Golf clap for you.
Did you guys know
Thank
this?
Thank you.
This is blowing my mind.
Is he okay?
This like hurts my head.
Sounds like it hurts your head.
Volkswagen's the top, right? No one owns Volkswagen.
Yeah, Tim. Nobody owns Volkswagen. Way to go. Next one. This streamer, who happens to have a huge music career, took their auto-tune perfected beats created on stream and then gave them away for free to their stream community.
Oh, it's not going to be Drake.
I'm trying to think of T-Pain.
T-Pain is correct.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Nice. I was going for, now I can't think of his name. The guy who just retired.
Logic?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of his name. Good job, T-Pain. Good
all
guy,
these
T-Pain.
Beats me,
wish we had
all
auto-tune on
all
the mic. I could have sung the celebration song.
Challenges, all that shit. I'm going to give these to y'all so y'all can use them on y'all streams.
Thanks, T-Pain. Appreciate us having to bleep all that stuff out.
Yeah, that was nice.
Auto-tune it out.
Yeah, this next one. This streamer, known for raging out, turned a new leaf and offered to buy a second monitor for a random teammate who happened to be disabled and was struggling with their current one monitor setup.
XQC.
Ooh, do you know that? Do you knew that one?
The rage thing, I think, tipped me off. That it was.
Okay, well, shit. It's not a flex, man.
It's definitely
a sure,
flex.
Man.
Yeah, just ask this again. Add me and just send me your paper.
Don't know for his new monitor fund. Why?
It's fun. Do you think XQC would buy anybody in here a monitor?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Is he playing CSGO?
He is playing CSGO.
Okay, interesting.
Callie heard that and her ears perked up real quick.
Yeah, I heard the throwing smoke. I'm like, oh, God. I'm right back on Nuke.
We are currently playing a game where I am trying to get these guys and gals to be able to guess who the popular streamer is. I'm going to tell them about a famous clip that was on the subreddit Livestream Fails. And after I describe it, they have to tell me who that streamer was.
And the current standings are me with the lead.
You are in the lead.
Correct answers.
Yeah.
Would you say this is a fair game?
It is.
Okay.
Yes,
it is.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
All right.
And then Callie and Robbie are tied with one apiece.
That's right. Yes.
This streamer, another popular musician knowing for being quite a curmudgeon, called all streamers beggars and said they were worse off than people on the side of the road.
Oh, a curmudgeon.
Dr. Disrespect.
No, he's a musician.
Oh, a musician. I missed that part.
I gave away his gender, too.
Not Logic's, because he's pretty nice. Who else streams that's a musician?
This person normally streams music creation, but in here they are playing, it looks like PUBG.
I have no idea.
I feel like all the guys that I know, I wouldn't call them curmudgeon.
Next one, I'll give you the answer. It is Deadmau5.
And here's the clip.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
You know, the patrons. In order
this is
to-
so ironic coming from a couple of fucking streamers who fucking e-beg for $5.
E-beg?
Get the out of here with that shit.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Deadmau5.
Wow.
Appreciate that
Damn.
One.
He was such a
the
dick.
Man who wears a giant mask yeah. to hide his identity.
Next one. This streamer was forced to stop playing with a teammate because the teammate's girlfriend slapped him since she was so jealous that the teammate was playing with this streamer.
Oh.
Is it the teammate?
Or I remember this.
You
no,
do?
It's a streamer. It's the, this clip has 1.2 million views on Twitch.
I have no idea. What game are they streaming?
I don't even know.
Is it Fortnite? It's probably Fortnite.
No, it's not Fortnite. I think it's Overwatch here.
Ooh.
It's an Overwatch one, and Robbie doesn't know.
Yeah. I'll give it to you. Pokimane. So so a guy's girlfriend got super jealous because he was streaming with Pokimane, and the girlfriend came in, slapped him, and he was like, I gotta go.
Does your girlfriend actually mad or like joking mad?
Was it mocap?
The first one.
What is mocap? Okay. Wait. Which one was the first one?
The actually mad one.
The first one. I don't
want to
get yelled
at. Oh, damn.
Really, love? Ow.
That's him getting slapped right there.
Yeah. Ow.
Ow.
Last
one. Like they're playing Valorant, actually.
Yeah, last one. It is for all the marbles. Here we have another musician streamer known as the King of the Pound said what we all wanted to say after losing a match, saying the team that they played on was trash.
King of the Pound? Another musician? I feel like the only musician that I keep back to is Logix.
I think it's Drake.
Snoop Dogg.
Robbie wins. Snoop Dogg.
Oh my gosh! And now I'm gonna get Snoop Dogg.
Oh,
what?
I honestly thought you were gonna win this one, James.
I'm a dog pound. I'm a dog pound. Snoop Dogg. That's the only that it could be. But I don't think he streams.
He does.
Here's him after playing Madden NFL 20 with the realest post match interview ever.
That was a tough loss. How do you feel after that?
How the f*** you think I feel?
James,
man.
Even though he said that one's for all the marbles, I'm going to call it a tie because we each got two.
Fair enough.
We're going to take this victory together.
Fair enough. We both got the rapper questions.
And assert our superiority over Callie.
Oh, well,
you
sorry,
lost to
Callie.
James.
You lose. You lose to me, Callie.
I'm not good at things.
She doesn't care.
From the high highs,
an absolute monster,
to the low lows,
who
nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
All right, you heard our nailed it earlier when Dignitas shut down TSM's trash talking. Well, now it is time for our failed it. And for that, we're going to visit a Twitch streamer who is a Twitch streamer no more. Mr. Golds was trying to prove his Twitch viewers that he doesn't cheat by bringing up his Window Task Manager, but when he did, it also revealed the cheat menu behind it from Engine Owning, a website that claims we believe that everyone should have the ability to win and only enjoy online matches. Listen to his stream when he realizes his huge mistake.
Because I have a good recoil, I'm good at the game. Is it the first time you see someone good at the game? Now I'm talking with you guys because you really, I play, and I look at the chat and I be like...
Get ready, he's about to realize it. Hold on. Here it is.
Hi.
He just like, he stares off into space and he's just like.
There's a moment where he's like.
Okay. Oh.
The silence speaks wonders
yep.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we asked on social media over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook what game you thought looked to be the best from the Gamescom live stream and what your new boss battle theme song would be according to the last song you listened to. We'll discuss your answers in just a bit because ahead next, we're checking the gaming headlines. Robbie, what do you have in store for us?
Oh, you are never going to guess which legendary NBA player's son has just joined FaZe Clan.
Ooh, wow. Exciting. We'll talk about that and more next on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Broadcasting from the Beasley Media Studios, esports and video games live here.
Oh my God!
Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I'm James Campbell, and with me is Robbie Landis, and the only person I have ever met that prefers to sleep on the couch over his own bed.
What?
Weird beard.
It's because when I was single and poor, coming out of high school and college, I had a futon. And
oh, and you kept it in couch mode?
Yeah, I kept it in couch mode, and because the TV was in the living room. So
is this for nostalgic reasons?
No, I just like I slept on a couch for so many years.
I feel like this guy's probably sent to the couch so often that it's just like an evolutionary process. His body's home. This feels better anyway.
So you like go home and do stuff to get in trouble on purpose so you get sent out to the couch, huh?
I sleep better, absolutely. If I'm exhausted, I'll start a fight and then just end up sleeping on the couch.
It's either that or he's so flatulent when it comes to bedtime. His lady's like, you gotta go sleep.
Goodbye.
Now, Marvel has teamed up with Epic Games for the latest season of Fortnite. They've even gone as far as Marvel putting out a comic, making the Fortnite events canon. What are comic book nerds saying? Well, we'll find out in just a bit, because now it's time for this.
Hey! Ho! The guy is unreal.
My goodness!
Sports gaming update with Robbie Landis on Checkpoint XP Radio.
LeBron James' son, Bronny James Jr., is going pro, but he's not following in his father's steps and doing so in basketball. He's joined professional esports and gaming group FaZe Clan as FaZe Bronny. LeBron Jr. is an avid player in both Fortnite and Call of Duty Warzone.
You know what's crazy is that this has so much crossover appeal. They were talking about it on earlier this week, ESPN's Undisputed show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play a clip of that real quick.
First responsibility to his schoolwork. Second responsibility, you play in a sport. Okay, you're going to vote. You're going to be able to get your time in if you have chores. So for me, Skip, I don't have a problem with it. I'm sure his schoolwork, as long as Savannah and LeBron are saying, look, as long as your schoolwork does not suffer, you're going to get to the gym, get shots up, you're going to do your training, you're going to do your chores around the house.
All right, so aside from the ridiculousness that is that conversation, here's actually something that I took away from this, because we've talked a lot about at what point do names from the gaming and esports scene start to really cross over into the mainstream, right? It's happened with names like Boogie, you know, winning a lot of money, but I think going forward in the next, you know, 5-6 years, as these legacy sports names like LeBron James start to now pop up in esports, people are going to have no choice but to start paying attention to it.
Yeah, this is crazy, especially because this comes on the heels of like Post Malone getting in over the weekend and everything and purchasing a sports team. I said earlier, Pusha T and Logic purchased an esports organization. Like, this is the nexus of crossing, so that any more in the future when you have guys who are just like, oh, esports and video games are for nerds, it's like, okay, well then LeBron James' kid is a nerd
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's cool to see and hear these big names from the mainstream getting into the esports world. I have a question though.
Yes.
Is he any good at these games? Is he on these on this team because he's good at these esports?
You know what?
Or
that's
is he on it because
question.
His name is Bronny James Jr.?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see, though.
I mean, people get signed.
Time will tell.
People get signed as influencers anymore.
That's fair.
What's the difference? But, you know, do you have to be good at things other than...
You're just not that great.
If FaZe Clan's trying to build a team that's going to win, you think you want really good players?
I don't think he's going to be put on a team. He's just going to be an influencer.
Okay.
Gamescom Online has brought us a sneak peek at the next season of Fall Guys, which is diligently being worked on by the developers. So what exactly is season 2? It's all medieval themed. Castles, dragons, knights, and princesses. I don't play Fall Guys because I'm an adult, but what do you guys think of this?
I think it's great.
I asked you this the other day, Robbie. Do you think Fall Guys is going to be relevant in a month?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that it's always going to be as super crazily hyped as it is, but I think that it's made a big enough splash that people will continue to play. My question is, are you going to give up the hot dog costume for the princess costume?
Over my dead. Whoa, oh.
Uh-oh. What were you going
to say? I feel like he tried to react to that too quick. He's like, there's no way.
I had to trade the hot dog for a princess.
Oh. I'm in. Anytime I can play as a princess, I will sign up to do that. Like, yes, but
I don't know. Giving up my hot dog costume is going to be very tough.
Do they not have the option where you can just like select a bunch of your favorite ones and hit random and it just puts you into a random costume?
Yeah, but I mean, like, you have a top and a bottom half that you build.
Yeah, and colors. And
yeah, so it's like, I don't know. If I want to be a princess.
I don't actually care about any of this.
It's very complex, Robbie.
Microsoft Flight Simulator has been out for a few weeks now, and players have been exploring the world over. There was a glitch in Dubai that created a monolith that reaches to the heavens. People have been gathering on Epstein's Island to solve that mystery for themselves. But the coolest thing that I've seen is people chasing hurricanes in the game. Have you guys seen some of the pictures?
No, I haven't seen any of that.
It's insane. Like, this game actually looks gorgeous. Like, these look, when you first see them, like, if you were just scrolling on Facebook or Twitter really quick,
yeah,
you would think it's an actual picture of a plane flying like near a hurricane.
Like one of your friend's vacation selfies on the airplane.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. They look great. And it actually, I don't know, I might give Flight Simulator a little bit of a try here. Go
really?
Chase me some hurricanes.
Install all 10 of those discs.
All
huh?
10 of those discs.
You got a new computer.
That's right. Got to put something on it. Now, if you guys thought that Fall Guys was a major success right now, you haven't seen anything yet. Chinese games and entertainment company Bilibili has secured the rights to publish a mobile version of Fall Guys.
What? I can play it on my phone?
Only in China.
Oh, I was going to say.
For now. If it does well, it will absolutely end up making its way stateside. Do you guys think that it'll still have the same appeal of fun? Because I feel like it gets harder when you're on a phone. And as frustrating as some people already get with this game, I feel like if they feel like the controls are fighting against them, it might not be as fun.
You know what? It might be a little more difficult, a little more frustrating. But I'll tell you right now, if you put Fall Guys on my phone, I am never going to leave the bathroom.
Great. Moving on. Summer Games Done Quick has finally wrapped up after a week of streaming and raising money for charity. SGDQ for short is a speed running stream where players try to beat games in what seem to us normal people like impossible times.
It's great though.
And they have raised over $2 million for Doctors Without Borders.
Wow, that's great. That's a great chunk of change to raise for that charity.
What kind of games would you hope to see sped run, James? Is there any that jump out to you?
I'm a big fan myself, sorry for interrupting, James, mm-hmm, of the older games like the Sonics, like the Mario Brothers. Apparently they did the entire Sonic trilogy speed run, which was apparently pretty
cool.
Have
they done Battletoads? I want to see somebody speed run Battletoads.
Oh, of course.
I'm sure it's done.
I bet it's been done blindfolded.
Come on.
One of my favorites, that I shared actually in a group chat, they did a Game Boy Advance Metroid game, 100% blindfolded.
What?
So he did it, and he had a blindfold on, and he only listened to the game sound, so the commentators were talking, and
like
he
Jedi mind
hear them.
You
want
to know what else people have done that they do speed runs of? They'll take a game like A Link to the Past and put it in a randomizer that when you walk to a new screen, it's a random other screen from the game, and they have to beat it by basically going to random levels.
And
that's wild.
And they speed run it doing that as well.
One of the highlights of it, they did Bloodborne all bosses in 1 hour and 17 minutes. They did the Final Fantasy VII Remake in 6 hours and 6 minutes for any percent normal. And then, of course, Metroid Fusion 1% hard race, which means that they are two people racing against each other on the hardest. They beat that in 1 hour and 29 minutes.
Wow.
That's it for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
All right, thank you, Robbie, for that update. Now, as we mentioned earlier, Fortnite Season 4 has begun, and it's all Marvel Comics. Well, Weirdbeard is our resident Fortnite player, and Robbie is our resident comic book guru. So, Weirdbeard, is it any good? And Robbie, I want to know, how are the nerds taking this?
I think that it's not bad, right? Like, if you played Fortnite when it first was Fortnite and the hype became, like,
huge, yeah, when it exploded into
the Fortnite
scene.
Hype. It still doesn't feel the same, right? Like, I don't think they're ever going to get back to what that game
felt like. They're going a little bit further away from just, you know, hey, there's building and then there's shooting, because there's so many like powers in it now as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can get things that are like the legendary powers, where if you played last season, they had like Midas's golden gun, or if you went to the, you know, different locations, they had mythic guns that you had to beat a boss to be able to get.
Really? So there's like little mini games inside the game before you take on your opponent. opponents that you're trying to survive.
And that's
and
how
last.
You can get, like, Dr. Doom's glove. Dr. Doom, you throw it down and it, like, makes a big explosion. You have to beat Dr. Doom in the game.
So you fight Dr. Doom.
Yes.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's cool. It's gotten positive attention so far. Nothing has been, like, negative, so that's cool.
And I know Thor is, like, in there. So what other elements from Marvel are we
yeah,
seeing?
Yeah, so actually, in the most recent Thor number 4, Galactus is going around, you know, eating stuff and devouring planets. And there's one point in the comic where Thor comes across a portal that takes him to the world of Fortnite, which is about to be devoured by Galactus.
Yummy,
and
yummy.
So, you know, he fights with some of the characters in Fortnite, and then he calls the rest of the Avengers there to fight Galactus that's coming to this thing. And then at the end of the comic, it says to be continued in Fortnite Season 4, so that it's essentially one gigantic ad for Fortnite. Mm. But it's canon now. Fortnite exists, quote-unquote, within the Marvel Universe.
I mean, but we still haven't even seen the depth that it's going to go to. Leaks that actually came out on Monday revealed they're getting Black Panther, Hulk, Ant-Man, and Captain Marvel all in-game.
You'll be able to play as those characters or interact with them in some way?
In some way,
in the
yes.
Fortnite game?
And then you could even make it, like, they're saying that what could be following the Marvel season is a DC season that's coming right afterwards. Mm.
It's
going to
be like the comic book Fortnite Wars.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Quotes, interesting.
It sounds like you're intrigued, Robbie.
Oh, I think we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up in the next segment where we can go a little bit more in-depth about what this means, I think, overall. Look, the game itself, it sounds super fun.
Yes.
If I were to ever get into Fortnite, like, this would be the point that I think that I would get into.
Yeah, I feel
it.
Like
yeah.
It sounds like it's got my curiosity peaked to where I kind of want to reinstall it and play it again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when they had the Thanos event during Infinity War, right? That was super cool. That was super fun.
That was fun. That was fun to fight the Thanos character too.
Yeah, and it seems like they took what worked from there and without making it too overpowered. I guess you'd have to, you know, speak to the balance of it, mm-hmm. but it just it seems like it's a little bit more accessible. You know, as opposed to where there could only be one Thanos.
Yeah, but I mean, you put the Incredible Hulk in the game, and you're going to let me play.
You can get Hulk hands instead of having a pickaxe.
Hulk fist.
Hold on. You actually only get the Hulk hand pickaxes if you pre-ordered Marvel's Avengers.
Oh, guess what I did, guys?
Yeah.
I pre-ordered that. I can get the Hulk fists. I got it. I have to install it just to get the Hulk fists.
That's it.
I don't want to miss that one. I got to get my money's worth. Looking for a hit game that you might have missed, maybe something that's easy to get into, but still well worth the time. Well, then we have a great gaming recommendation coming up in just a bit, because ahead next. With an entire season of Fortnite being dedicated to Marvel Comics, is the future of gaming going to be nothing but branded content? We'll talk about that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
On Checkpoint XP.
Stop blowing my mind!
We're rolling with continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness around!
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're hanging with me, James Campbell, along with Weird Beard, and the person who has finally committed to being part of Team Edward after seeing the first trailer for The Batman, Mr. Robbie Landis.
Actually isn't just that. He was also interviewed for his role in Batman and asked, I think, if a video game has ever made him cry before.
Yeah.
And it has.
Has it?
Final Fantasy VII, when Aerith dies, which is the same point that I
you cried like a little baby too, right?
And millions of other people cried during as well.
Wow.
Yes, because we have hearts. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Well, awesome. I guess I can't wait to see what he does with that heart in The Batman. Fortnite and Marvel have teamed up to bring the latest Fortnite season to super heroic levels, including Thor, Dr. Doom, and the rest of the Marvel gang in this third-person shooter. However, with the tie-in of Marvel, is Fortnite becoming one big piece of sponsored content for companies to purchase? Weird Beard, what is going on in the world of Fortnite?
I had this thought last week, and I wanted to bring it to you guys and see what your input on this was. Because as we just talked about in the last segment with Fortnite, you know, they're currently doing a Fortnite season. After that, it may be DC right after that.
What is sponsored content anymore? Because the lines are getting so blurred between, like, even talking about Fall Guys being able to insert skins from people that purchase the ability, you know what I mean, to put their skin into a game, mm-hmm. which you've always kind of been able to do. What is sponsored content becoming? It's Marvel now has a vested interest in making sure that more people play Fortnite.
So hence why they have basically an entire Thor comic that is just one giant advertisement for Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, as somebody who plays a lot of indie or independent video games, you know, the smaller video games, how can game studios like that compare to dumping Disney money on anything? Like,
yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to compete with Disney money in any kind of a game.
For me, I'm not even sure I'm worried about whether or not smaller ones can compete. I'm actually worried more so about the games themselves, because first of all, what does this do for the Fortnite brand? If it just starts branding everything, like if they do a Fortnite season now, then the next one is like a DC season, then, you know, Stranger Things, which they've done before, like little crossovers is fine.
Yeah.
But with what they're doing now, which I think is being executed great, but I don't want, even not being a Fortnite player, I don't want to see an entire game have to get its identity from somewhere from else.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
I played Final Fantasy XIV, a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. And what they started doing a lot of is they started turning it into what's called a theme park game. Instead of making their own original content, they would start using stuff inspired by other Final Fantasies. So there would be like an entire dungeon or a raid that people could go in and fight monsters. But instead of being something unique to Final Fantasy XIV, they took bosses and characters from Final Fantasy VIII and put it in there. Or they took the Yorha from... what's the game that I'm trying to think of now that I'm suddenly completely blanking on? Nier Automata, right? Go. They put an entire thing of that in it. And as a person playing these games and loving Final Fantasy XIV or Fortnite, it's cool to have a little bit of crossover, but to then feel like I'm just playing an Avengers game, like, I feel like on a long enough timeline, it stops feeling like Fortnite or it stops it feeling like Final Fantasy.
Avengers, yeah.
And it feels too gimmicky, right?
But
too fan service-y.
But I feel like that's the future of all of this, is that game.
I hope not.
Because you know what? Yeah, you can make money from, you know, people buying skins in your game or people buying like DLC or whatever it is. But why would you do that when I can just get Disney to cut me a Disney check and I'll just do an entire season of my game around that? You know, like, is that, I feel like that's the future of where gaming is sort of moving towards.
The only hope that I have for this is this might actually be something that could be linked back to COVID. Because when you do something that's completely Marvel, you don't have to worry about coming up with individual designs. You just have to design all the stuff, right? But you know it's being based on Thor, on Iron Man, on Mystique.
Yeah, you know what these characters look like. You know
exactly
what you need to put into the design.
And as you said, there's Disney money that's now paying people to do it. You don't have to rely on your own artists to now spend the time to come up with all that stuff. So... Mm-hmm. Hopefully, this isn't a trend that we see continue indefinitely.
I sure hope so.
Now, do you think there's a certain party that stands to benefit more from partnerships like this? Do you think Disney is gaining more from Fortnite, or Fortnite's gaining more from Disney?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, it's the same thing as, like...
It's a pretty symbiotic relationship,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, like, it's very parasitic in that, you know, Disney wants to get young kids... hooked on Disney products as early as possible. You know what kids are already hooked on?
Fortnite.
Like, you know, they want to both keep those kids buying money or paying them to do whatever they want for years and years to come.
Now, in terms of this being a good or a bad thing, like, would you say these partnerships, if they make the game more fun and it gets more players, you think is that detrimental, that it's more so?
No, I guess for me, I just feel like it's stifling creativity or originality in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely takes away from the originality of the game.
Can't be bothered to play new games as they come out.
I've been hearing about this Skyrim thing. Is that worth buying?
For gamers behind the times, it's the Patient Gamer.
Robbie, what game do you have for us this week?
Well, in celebration of Gamescom letting us know that a new Dragon Age is on the way, I'm going to tell you about where it all started, Dragon Age Origins.
It has been 4 centuries since that victory. I have seen with my own eyes what lies on the horizon.
Part of being a Grey Warden is being able to hear the Darkspawn. That's why we know this is really a blight.
We feel it just as they do.
BioWare describes Dragon Age Origins as a dark, heroic fantasy set in a unique world and a spiritual successor to their previous Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights franchises. Its setting was also inspired by Lord of the Rings and A Song of Ice and Fire, aka Game of Thrones, and was described by BioWare as a mix between high fantasy and low fantasy. So again, if you're into stuff like a Game of Thrones, if you're into Lord of the Rings, you know, the elves, the dwarves, dragons and orcs, and, you know, using magic and stuff like that, Dragon Age Origins is the game for you. Now, since it's a role-playing game, you as a character are put into the role of what's called a Grey Warden. So throughout the game, you get to make decisions, you know, talk to people the way that you want to. You can be nice, you can be mean, and those decisions will then influence how the game plays out. Whether you get allies, whether you make enemies, what the ending actually ends up being. Are you a hero? Do you end up being more of a villain? Dragon Age Origins really sort of encapsulates all of those, you know, the things that make the role-playing and the fantasy genre great all within one game.
I don't know. Dragon Age always came across as, like, the Pepsi to Coke's Skyrim, you know what I mean?
No.
Okay, what would you say it's closer
there
to?
There are obviously, yes, similarities to it, but I think that something like Skyrim is more the fantasy version of Fallout, right?
Okay.
It's supposed to be open-ending. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, whereas Dragon Age Origins is set on a little bit more of a path, and there's an actual story being told. You can play a million hours in Skyrim and never actually touch the story or conclude anything. Just adventure and do whatever you want, but you can't really do that in Dragon Age.
So
it's more set
Dr.
along
Pepper.
The rails. I mean, I like both, so...
I was trying to make a soda, pop metaphor.
There doesn't need to be a soda pop metaphor here. The point
is... Well, Rob, we want a sugary sweet metaphor.
There are so many gamers, streamers, and influencers now because of the announcement of Dragon Age 4 that have been going back and replaying and restreaming Dragon Age, Dragon Age 2, and Dragon Age Inquisition. There's an entire franchise to this. The original game, Origins, is about 40 hours for the main story, but if you're a completionist, you want to get as much out of it as you can. You're looking at 80 to 100 hours.
Wow.
Originally, it came out on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. Currently, you can buy it on PlayStation Network, the Xbox Marketplace, and on Steam for $20 for the base game, or $30 gets you the Ultimate Edition, which comes with like 10 pieces of DLC on it.
Now, we asked over on social media at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, what game are you most excited for after the Gamescom announcement? We also want to know, what would your final boss battle soundtrack be according to the last song you listened to? We'll talk to you about your answers next when Checkpoint XP returns.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. Overwatch League is drawing towards its exciting finale this year. In a year marred by COVID-19, the best teams in the world will be making their way to South Korea for the finals. Teams that qualify will need to quarantine for 2 weeks before being allowed to compete at the beginning of October. The LCS Summer Split is drawn to a close, and with teams now qualified, we're officially on the road to Worlds. This year's event will be taking place in a bubble in Shanghai, as teams from all over the world will remain in quarantine throughout the month of October. September 4th marks the return of Counter-Strike Global Offensive with ESL Season 12 kicking off. All matches this season will be played online due to ongoing concerns with COVID-19. Valorant's next tournament will be running September 5th and 6th, welcoming teams out of the Oceania region. Qualifiers for the RLCS X Fall Major will be going on throughout the month of September. No word yet on when the Fall Major itself will take place. And that's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Check out our website at CheckpointXP.com.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Weird Beard, Robbie Landis, and someone who he cannot troll on Twitter, me, James Campbell.
You are untrollable.
By Robbie, I'm untrollable.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you tried to troll me with the whole Lucifer thing over the week.
No.
Yeah, you're trying to make me... You want me to wish I was as
hunky as the guy who plays Lucifer on the TV show.
Hey, you're saying it, not me.
You wrote the tweets.
I don't know what he's talking about.
If they want to see the troll tweets, what's your account, Robbie?
That is Robbie_LandisCP.
I don't trust people with underscores in their names. And James, what's yours?
It's at who the F is JC.
Settle this. Go see their Twitters and see if James looks like a hunky Lucifer.
Now, we asked on social media over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook. We wanted to know what game you are most excited for after the Gamescom announcement. So I don't know if we're going to talk about... Are we going to talk about ours first?
I kind of talked about what mine were. You know, I picked all the ones at the top of the show there. So was there anything that you two saw specifically that you're really excited about out of Gamescom?
Well, I mentioned the Jurassic Park one. Like,
of course, one that isn't actually new. You would pick that one.
It's like a roller coaster tycoon sim. Like, I thought it looked cool, too.
I thought it looked like fun. I didn't realize it's not like a brand new game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Gamescom doesn't come out and say, hey, this isn't really a brand new
game. They literally
said
available on Switch. Which should lead you to believe it's already available elsewhere.
Outriders looks super cool. It's done by Square Enix.
That one did look interesting, yeah. It kind of seemed like it was a weird take on like a little bit Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
But like also a little bit like Mutants because everyone got like different powers and stuff. So that could be interesting. Didn't show a whole lot, but definitely one to look forward to in the future.
I mean, if you go to the Steam page, some of the reviews are like, the sci-fi RPG epic we've been waiting for, what a cross-gen shooter should be aiming to achieve in 2020, and one of the most promising games of 2020. So, I mean,
is this supposed to come out this year?
Yeah.
I say they barely showed anything. I thought that was more like, you know, 2022.
Planned release date, holiday 2020.
Interesting.
Well, one thing that the Gamescom definitely got me excited for is seeing more of that Star Wars Squadrons with the VR.
Yo, yes.
Like,
right?
Being able to pilot any kind of a Star Wars spacecraft with a VR helmet on,
are you gonna go like the full like the flight simulator streamers and get like the full cockpit setup and everything?
I probably won't get like a full setup, but I will probably try to Photoshop myself into a cockpit with the gameplay behind me when I do get it and stream it.
All right, well, let's see what a few people on social media said. First one says, actually start with Status Zero. He actually wanted to know what our take was on the Ford gamer cars. So last year, Ford actually got into the esports scene, made their own team, and they've now released what they're calling a gamer car. It just looks like something out of Tron.
Yeah,
if the light cycle was a car, that's what it looks like. Wanted to know what we thought about it. He said, I think it's just weird marketing from Ford. And, you know, let's be real. Once this is made, normal gamers like ourselves will never sit or drive in it. But Ninja or Dr. Disrespect might.
Like, it looks like something from Rocket League.
Yeah, they've only designed it in-game, but they said that next year they're going to turn it into an actual car.
Shut up.
My only question is, when you say it's a gamer car, like, have you just made it for what you think gamers want? Were there some actual car designers who are also gamers that made it? Because I'm not really feeling it myself.
Well, before I can give an honest answer about this vehicle, I need to know, A, what's the gas mileage, and what's the sticker price?
Both of them, and I probably will not
be in favor of
it. All right, so what games that people are actually excited for? Donald says G.I. Joe Operation Blackout. This looks insanely good. I actually thought that he was talking about Call of Duty Black Ops, but there's actually a G.I. Joe game that's coming out. Have you guys seen this at all?
No,
I know. I thought I saw they're doing like another Army Men. They're doing another Army Man game, but I didn't know they had a G.I. Joe.
There's a new G.I. Joe game that's coming out.
Well,
yeah,
I have to look into this.
Let's see. Jeremy says literally none of them.
Nothing? Jeremy, you didn't find anything?
Which is sad. He said the highlight of the whole opening show was the WoW cinematic, which even let me down because I expected more from it. I was hoping for a Riot Games level cinematic. And he was talking about there was a little animated sort of short made by Blizzard for the new World of Warcraft expansion that's coming out, which was really good. But it's more, instead of being like just a straight up animation, it's more like kind of like watercolors and like a slideshow type deal. It's something they've been doing for a lot. It was still good, but I get you, Jeremy.
Well, I hope someone comes out that you get excited for, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. John here says, I know it's only the beginning stages, and it will take another 3 to 5 years to come out, but Dragon Age 4 looks amazing already. I'm sold. I can't wait. I actually squeed super loud.
Can you squee?
I cannot squee. No.
James, can you squee?
I probably could, but I don't think that's appropriate to do on radio.
Okay, perfect. Good answer.
Steve here is also excited about Star Wars Squadrons. You better get ready to squad up, Steve.
Squad!
And then lastly, Kyron says that they might have to get themselves a VR headset now for Medal of Honor.
Oh, yeah, that looked really cool, too.
I don't know, maybe. I own the original Medal of Honor, you know what I mean? Do you think it's going to be that much more immersive in VR, really?
I don't think that anyone is going to dethrone Call of Duty as the go-to military shooter. It doesn't matter.
If playing the game looks as cool as what it looked like when they were playing it in the trailer, I think it might do very well. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We were just talking about what games we and you were most excited for from the Gamescom announcement. But now, we also asked on social media, if you're a video game boss, the last song you heard is now your battle music. What song is it?
Hey, this is Peter from Houston. I saw you guys do the question about your boss battle song, and mine would definitely be Peaches by the Presidents of the United States of America.
That's an old one.
Because my boss battle would definitely have Peaches somewhere in the mechanic.
Really?
Wow, that's an interesting thing to have there.
So what other song would I use?
I mean,
right, guys, thanks for...
I like how he turned that around and put the question right back to us.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Peter. We appreciate
it. It's hard to argue with his logic. I mean, if you're going to have Peaches in your boss battle, it's got to be Peaches, right?
Yeah, I mean, that works for me. Thank you, Peter, for that call. If you want to reach us and call in and let us know, chime in on some of these social media questions, you can call us at 833-557-0974. And even if you're not chiming in on the social media question, if you have a gaming-related question that you think the experts here at Checkpoint XP can answer, call that number and leave it for us, and we'll get back to you.
So, James, last song you listened to, what's your boss theme?
Oh, man, it's Lizzo Juicy. I mean, I kind of don't mind it.
To be fair, knowing what we know about James, I feel like it could work.
It probably could
work. It could definitely work. What about you, Weirdbeard?
I was actually listening to Donkey Kong music.
Do you have video game music on
I have a playlist of it. Oh, absolutely.
You can get playlists like that on Spotify now too.
That's where I was listening.
I have been listening to KDA's new single, The Baddest, which was released just for League of Legends World Tournament coming up. It's a K-pop type song. First of all, it totally rocks.
Hold on, we're gonna play a clip of this. So that's what your boss battle is based off of.
Fire, man.
Actually, I think that would be an epic boss battle
sound.
That's a K-pop band, too?
Yeah. Well, what
There's
it
a
is,
lot of English.
What it is, KDA is actually a band made up of characters from League of Legends.
Oh,
so it's like an in-universe, in-game band. Obviously, real artists
kind of like
it.
Gorillas.
Yeah, yes. kind of. So every
like the
year...
the gaming version of Gorillas.
Every year, they come out with a new song for the World Championship, and they actually announce when they release this single that KDA would be dropping an entire album later this year as well.
Oh, I bet you're excited.
So just another few ones here really quick. Flynn Sanity says the Criminal Minds theme song.
Minds. I don't know if I know that one all that well.
That's not like the dunk dunk, that's SVU.
That's a different crime.
Anthony says Blank Space by Taylor Swift.
He said that's his daughter's fault. If I walk in and it's like, all right, last boss time, and then you hear Taylor Swift start playing.
There's a few good ones. Bill says The Only Thing They Fear Is You by Mick Gordon. That sounds like a pretty good one.
Okay.
And then last here, we have Christopher, Ghost of the Navigator by Iron Maiden.
All right, remember, if you enjoyed those responses, you can always include yours by commenting on our social media, at Checkpoint XP, on Twitter and Facebook. But also, don't forget, we want to talk to you on the phone. So if you want to talk to us, give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. And don't forget, you can even call and ask any question you feel like the experts here at Checkpoint XP should be able to answer. And that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to us on your radio station. Make sure you head on over to checkpointxp.com. Check out the Checkpoint XP on campus and get the latest info on what is going on in the world of collegiate esports. Check out the new show with Norris Howard and Jacob Brothers as they talk about collegiate Overwatch and Valorant. New episodes every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to give a big thank you to Robbie Landis, Weirdbeard, and producer Callie for helping put this episode together. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next level.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.